Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, April the 19th. And welcome to our commentary. Just a quick heads up. I have a post over at the American Thinker Friday morning talking about this absolutely crazy story that President Biden promoted yesterday, that his uncle had been shot down in the Pacific and potentially kill. I guess he was killed and potentially eaten by the cannibals. And, you know, the whole story is so crazy. First of all, his uncle was not shot down in a military plane. He did go down. But, you know, the whole thing was a bizarre story that the Pentagon quickly came out and said, no, it didn't happen that way. But there's a bigger problem here. And this is the president who keeps on telling these stories. And he exaggerates, of course, the stories for his own benefit. And, you know, I think some of us have to ask ourselves the question, is he really? I mean, is the elevator going up to the top floor, as they like to say, with this president? Because this is happening way too often. And he is the president of the United States. You know, in my post over at the American Thinker, I talk a little bit about my grandmother and how my grandmother went through a period like that, where she began to lose her memory and so on, and would often tell stories. And again, that was my grandmother. That happens, I'm sure, to a lot of people who are watching me today, who've had, you know, family members go through these. And here's the key. It doesn't get any better. In other words, what we're seeing right now is going to get worse in 3 or 4 months or 6 months, or God forbid, if he's returned to the presidency through re-election. So, I mean, it is really a sad situation to watch. It is not pretty to watch this. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you. The Democrats are going to have to figure out some way of changing this man, because if you vote for Joe Biden in 2024, you're voting for Kamala Harris to be president. There's simply no other way to say it. I mean, she is going to be president of the United States a lot sooner than you realize, because he's definitely not completing his second term. That much I can tell you without any hesitation. Anyway, check out my post over at the American Thinker. You know, one thing that I've noticed, and I'm sure you have too, is this growing movement, this growing anti-Israel movement that you're seeing in many of our universities, and not just the anti-Israel, but the attacks on Jewish students. I saw an interview of a young woman talking about what hell many of these universities have become for Jewish students. They're being harassed all the time. So they had, I think, some people from Columbia University, the president and other administrators were before the Congress, and, you know, they were getting an earful, of course, from the members of Congress, and properly so. So in the last couple of days, I think they've removed some of these protesters over at the Columbia campus, which is, of course, in New York City. And I think they've succeeded, but now they're back. There, more of them are back to protest, and they're claiming all kinds of police brutality. You know, we've all heard that song before. But here's the question. Here's the key. I can certainly understand how a person feels about this or that. If you don't like Israel and you want to express your, I don't know, your feelings about Israel or the Biden policy or whatever with respect to Israel, you have every right to do that in the United States. We live in a free country. So you have every right to express yourself. But you don't do it by blocking streets, by blocking bridges, and by engaging in this kind of harassment behavior in our universities, where you feel that you have the right to do whatever you want. And, you know, I'm glad to see that some action was taken against these students in Columbia, but this is one of those situations where the governors are going to have to get involved. The governors are going to have to say, I'm putting the National Guard on the streets. If you're going to block the airport, we're going to put the National Guard on the streets, and we're going to physically remove you from blocking the airport or blocking streets or engaging in all kind of lawless behavior just because you want to push a particular agenda or another. That's not something that we should be tolerating. But I think the governors of these states are the ones who should be taking this to another level by bringing in the National Guard and saying, we're not tolerating this anymore. We're just not going to. We're not going to tolerate this disrespect and lawless behavior that we're seeing over and over again, where, you know, the other day they were blocking the entrance to O'Hare Airport, one of the busiest airports in the world. They were blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, how crazy is that? You've seen them in other places blocking streets and stopping traffic. Well, that's just all crazy. That is just absolutely crazy. And that should not be tolerated. And I think it's up to the governor, who's got more resources, as well as the National Guard that he can bring into the picture. I think it's up to them to say, enough is enough. We're not tolerating this anymore. And as far as the universities and these Jewish students who are being harassed, look, I think they need to file a lawsuit against the university, a civil rights lawsuit against these universities. And these universities are going to have to come down very hard on professors and student groups who are harassing Jewish students. That's not the way it should be in the United States. Again, we can disagree about the policy, and you can go to the park and march all you want, or have a website and do whatever you want. But blocking streets and harassing Jewish students, that's completely out of bounds and should not be tolerated by any of these universities in the United States. Of course, there's a larger question, and that is, how do all these kids get so radical? I'm sure many of you have thought about this question too. How did all these kids in these universities, especially that a lot of them are white young women. Have you noticed that? A lot of white young women who are, protesting and out there and engaging and all this kind of stuff. You know, how did they get radical like this? Well, I'm going to argue that a lot of it has to do with these universities who have tolerated all these radical ideas and this radicalization of so many of these young people, especially anti-American radicalization. And that, I think, is driving a lot of this. They hate the United States. They hate Israel. But they really hate the United States because they're being taught to hate the country in our universities and our colleges. I mean, it's insane. But that's exactly what they're being taught, to hate the country. And of course, Israel is, you know, seen by many of them as an extension of the United States. So it's time to get the governors involved so that they start cracking down and returning these institutions to places where a Jewish American or a Jewish kid can walk around without the harassment that we keep hearing that is happening in many, many of these universities. Well, it turns out that the Kennedy family, some of the brothers and sisters of Robert F. Kennedy have publicly endorsed President Biden for president, and that's their right. They can do that. That's the way it is. But I think what's happening with the Biden reelection team or the Biden team is that they're beginning to realize just how damaging Robert F. Kennedy is going to be. You know, you see poll after poll after poll where he's getting from 8 to 15% of the popular vote. If that, in fact, happens in November, and it probably will because he is, you know, he's registering or putting himself in more and more state ballots. So he's going to be on the ballot in most of the states, I think, by the time that this is over. But if he's getting 8 to 10% of the popular vote, that probably means he could end up getting closer to 15 when it's all said and done. And if he can get into one of these debates, and I wouldn't be surprised if Trump debates him one-on-one, that is going to give Kennedy a tremendous boost. What I mean by Kennedy and Trump is I don't think Biden is going to debate Trump. I think Biden is going to do everything possible to avoid a debate with Trump. Now, he may have to do it at the last moment, sort of similar to what happened between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan back in 1980. Carter kept, you know, delaying the debate with Reagan, and then they finally had one the last week of the campaign. So that may happen here as well. But I do think that Kennedy and Trump will take on Kennedy in a debate, and it's not going to be a difficult debate because I think that Trump can do it, and I believe that Kennedy is going to take a lot of shots at the Biden administration because there's some bad feelings there. There should be. there should be. I mean, the Biden administration has denied Robert F. Kennedy Secret Service protection. Well, that's not very smart, given the fact that he looks like a legitimate candidate for the presidency, and also the history of his family. I mean, you have to take that into account. So the Kennedy family seems to be with Biden, but Robert F. Kennedy is getting a lot of support across the country. The Trump trial continues to be an absolute joke. I guess they have finally put together a jury. I mean, it is a travesty. And the harm that this is doing to the city of New York and the brand of New York is tremendous. I just hope people in New York come to their senses and realize the damage that this is doing to New York. What you have in New York, I was listening to this yesterday, what you have in New York is an attorney general who wants to be governor and a district attorney, I guess, who wants to be governor too. So they're both sort of having a primary between the two of them. And the primary is who can put Trump in jail faster. That's, you know, that's what explains this crazy thing happening in New York. It's all political, whether it's the attorney general or the district attorney, they want to see who can put Trump in jail first. That's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with justice. It is a travesty, what we're watching in this particular trial. On this day in history, let me leave you with this memory. It was on this day in 1993, so that makes it 31 years ago today, that we had this incident down in Waco, Texas. You may remember those people who were hiding in that house. And then finally, when the ATF went in on this day, they burned the house and they all burned to death. There were children and women in that house. And that whole thing, we were watching it on television. I mean, we were sitting there watching on television, this house going up in smoke, realizing that there were lots of people in there who were burning to death. And what a terrible moment that was for those of us who remember this day and remember those scenes of that house burning and imagining what a terrible thing it must have been for the people inside. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye, everybody.